All right. Hello, Morro Bay. Welcome to the May 20th Public Works Advisory Board meeting. Please note the call to order and roll call, and we have four of seven members here, so therefore we have a quorum. All right. Tell me when.
They can't hear? Go like this. Stand up and pretend like you're doing the pledge.
Check, 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 check. Can you hear me, Sean? Got me? Hello, hello, hello. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. We have house feed, but we need some audio for television.
We could start doing rock, paper, scissors. Yeah.
Okay, folks, welcome to the May 20th Public Works Advisory Board meeting, and we just got done with a minute or so of technical difficulties, but please note that we have four of seven members here. We have a quorum, so the meeting will go on as planned, and the first thing we're going to do is have a moment of silence. All right, moving on. The next item is acceptance of the agenda. Do I have a motion to accept the agenda?
I may make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second?
I second it.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, the motion carries. We accept the agenda. On to the next one. We have announcements, and I do believe we have an announcement coming right here.
Hello, Jenny Brantley here to announce the Water Fest, Saturday, June 20th, just on the south side of Morro Rock, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 p.m. This is a free event, and live music will occur at 4:30 in the afternoon. Again, it's a free event in Morro Bay, Waterfest 2009, Saturday, June 20th, starting at 10, all the way into the evening. I hope you can come.
And please note, for those of you at home, if you can see on your screen.
I also want to add that their next meeting is July 1st in the Community Center Conference Room at 5 p.m., and I'm assuming that's open to the public. Okay.
Yes. After reading it, I think a lot of the recommendations or concerns on this will really coincide very well with ideas that on a future agenda item that we're going to be talking about the San Jacinto area and with traffic in that area in Del Mar. So I think they'll dovetail very well. Anybody else have anything about this? No? Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, I did. All the time I was reading the recommendations and everything, I was just wondering how it would be funded.
That's always the key question. I know some of these projects on here, if a project's regionally significant, then there's a chance to get funding through SLOCOG, which is our local council of governments, and that's how transportation dollars are handed out. Other than that, it would be funding most of these needs. I'm not sure 100% of them, but most of these needs would be funded from a local level, and so the city would be working towards that. And so you go, what the bike committee does is they meet, they go through, we usually get a letter at least once a year from them on recommendations on marching ahead. And they basically are telling us, hey, as you move forward, these are the things we would like to see happen. So we use this as basically a planning tool.
Thank you.
I would like to make a request of the Citizens Bike Committee that they prioritize these items. There are several. There's A through K. I didn't count those, but some of them are seem to be large projects, you know, major, like putting creating Tide Avenue to be a one-way street, that sort of thing, which seems like a large project. And some other small. I just want to know what their what they feel are their priorities, and that would be helpful.
I also have a question, Dylan. There's a notation on our director's report that we have a bicycle transportation plan under preparation. That's at the bottom of page 2. And I don't know how this interfaces with the city's bicycle transportation plan.
I would anticipate you'll see a lot of overlap there. I'm not sure that... I know Rob Leivick gets these recommendations and moves forward with them, so I would anticipate a lot of these recommendations or similar ones would appear in that plan.
So the Citizens Bike Committee makes recommendations to the Public Services Department, Rob Leivick, and
correct.
Then he would incorporate that in as he sees appropriate?
As he sees appropriate, yeah. So, for example, closing the street to one-way traffic, he may or may not believe that that's an acceptable approach, and so you go... he'll adopt those recommendations that we believe are appropriate. And then some of them are outside of our jurisdiction as a city. You know, a path between Moorbank and Cayucas would largely be outside the city limits. And so the city really wouldn't create that project. So he'll work through the list and certainly will include a lot of those recommendations in his bicycle plan.
Do you have any idea on time frame for the bicycle transportation plan?
I do not.
I have a question about the item. Can I ask about item B on here, where it says crosses Morrow Creek? Is there already a way to cross Morrow Creek that exists, or would that be adding a bridge?
The intent would be to add a bridge. You could get across there in dry weather, I guess, is probably the right description. But the intent here is to add some kind of pedestrian bicycle path across or over Morrow Creek.
And as I understand it, because we already have a bridge over Morrow Creek, but this is down in front of the trailer park down by the pit, and that would tie right that bike path from, by the high school to go down in front of the trailer park down across the creek to the Embarcadero. There's a lot of issues with that. But again, these are recommendations, and that is a good recommendation. Also, I'd like to point out for those of you citizens who haven't seen this or looked into the Citizens Bike Committee, they make a number of recommendations that would change North Morrow Bay in terms of traffic flow, creating a much more pedestrian bicycle-friendly zone. So those of you who haven't looked into this, I would definitely recommend a look at this. All right, no other written communications. We move on to public comments or presentations. Seeing nobody here to present publicly or make presentations, we move on to the consent calendar. Approval of minutes. We have two minutes to approve, one from March 18th and one from April 15th. Can we move to accept both of them at the same time? All right. Would anybody like to comment about these two bunches of minutes? Seeing none.
It was also supposed to be that Morrow Bay Boulevard from Main Street to Dorns was going to get slurried, and then I noticed that got paved. So did some of the money from Quintana go to paving that instead of slurrying, or what happened exactly with Quintana?
Yeah, there was some talk originally about doing I don't think Rob was ever considering doing Quintana, but he was considering doing from Surf Street down to Highway 1 on Main Street. Yeah, you got it. And so you go, I think that that's still a project that he's considering and wants to do. The fact is that we are looking at budget issues is why that isn't happening currently. What you've seen on Main Street is, the call was made to actually do a thin overlay after some further investigation and discussion with the contract that was felt that that was a better solution because of the roughness of the pavement there than to do a slurry seal. Cost difference, there is a cost difference, but it wouldn't have been a big enough difference in that segment to enable you to do the other piece. So I guess you did have additional costs with doing that, but that wouldn't have allowed or didn't take the place of doing the piece between Surf Street and the highway.
All right, I have a question, and maybe if we want to, instead of jumping around, we can just go first page all the way through the back, because I notice I have a number of things that I want to ask. Dylan, I know that Janine's not here. Can you speak to, or do you want to, about the recycling, and the first one, recycling solid waste? I understand there's no reportable action, but thinking about, as I was looking over this, thinking Morro Bay, do you remember how long, or do you know how long the contract was? How long does that, is that the yearly one with the trash company, or and with recycling? Is it yearly?
I believe it's no. I actually think it's longer than yearly. This last time was negotiated. I thought we did a multi-year agreement with them. I seem to remember 5 years would be my guess. There again, that's Janine's forte. And then it's reviewed annually is how I think that works. That's correct.
So I remember cause when we talked about it when it came into PayWeb last time, it was multi-years, but we had the option each year, too, whether or not we wanted to continue.
Correct.
And next for me on this first page is the last one, and I know this isn't your forte, but in talking about the second to the last one, local streets maintenance projects, Morro Bay Boulevard, Kern to Market paving, and talking about the Americans with Disability Act upgrades, they're almost done. When are the streets going to be striped and painted?
They're working on the striping now. If you do painting on asphalt, you have to wait a certain period of time. Depends on the manufacturer of the paint, but usually it's about 2 weeks. Some basically make you go as far as 28 days or 30 days out. So usually what will happen is you'll see that painting will actually happen later. What they're working on right now is they're putting down the crosswalks. That's a thermoplastic, which is basically a heat-applied plastic material. So it's different material than painted. It adheres a little bit differently, and so you can do that earlier. So right now they're working on valve cans, manhole rings, and applying signage and some of the crosswalks. Striping should be as soon as they can get to it. But my guess is probably like next week.
Something to add to that. I talked to Rob Blyvik about that, and I thought it was interesting. He said the reason that the painting can't be done immediately after the paving is because of the high VOC content in the pavement, and it would actually deteriorate the paint if they put it on too soon. Yeah, with the VOC. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And they are working on developing. There are lower VOC pavement materials that are being developed, but that's still kind of in the creation process. But eventually, but what it made me think of is people are breathing that stuff too. But it's paint. You know, I know we have to use what's available, but it would be a good thing if we could move towards lower VOC pavement in the future.
All right, the reason I bring that up, because driving up and down the boulevard, I'm thinking with the interesting placement of no stripes and the stop signs, the temporary ones, you know, I just want people to know what's going to be happening with the boulevard. All right, does anybody else have any questions on the first page?
Well, I saw some striping today.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, maybe it's the other material he was talking about.
Down by Market Street?
I believe what they're working on right now are stop legends, stop bars, and then crosswalk materials. It could be that they're putting in striping on certain segments that they're ready to do that.
I have another comment.
Okay, go ahead.
On the first page. I was looking over the increase in rates for the trolley, and it just occurred to me that a lot of cities don't charge anything at all for trolleys. Rides within the city, and I don't know if we've ever looked at that having
with the budget issues of Morro Bay and the state, and I mean it is a tough one to accept in terms of why we have the trolley, getting people around, getting less more cars off the street, and that is it's kind of a evil balance. But I guess we should be happy, and we'll see what happens with it. Gets paying money for this trolley ride to see how many people keep riding. All right, anybody else on the first page of the director's report?
Yeah, I'll just mention to everybody that the trolley is starting Saturday, May 23rd, And it's a dollar for adults and 50 cents for children 5 to 12 and free for kids under 5.
And also, to add on to what John's saying, there's all-day passes and punch cards, and then there are also discount cards available to seniors. So get you guys out of the house and riding around Morro Bay. It is fun to ride the trolley. I've done it. So hopefully we get you, everybody in Morro Bay, doing that to support the trolley. All right, moving on. Second page. Would anybody like to start? I guess I'll start. All right. Dylan, I know this isn't your thing, but maybe can you, in the third item, Don, talking about wastewater and Morro Bay Cayugas wastewater treatment plant, the flood zone analysis. Is Morro Bay a flood zone? And when we talk about flood zone analysis in Morro Bay, where are we talking about?
Sure. This is specific and directed at the wastewater treatment plant project. So as you know, we're all going we're working on an upgrade to the wastewater plant. One of the big tasks that we're trying to grind through right now is the environmental impact report. And so the last little piece of that report is the analysis of the flood zone and impacts to the flood zone of the construction. So really right now that's all that's holding it up. There are several areas in Morro Bay that can experience flooding. That area specifically is prone to it because it's low-lying, borders Morro Creek. There's several areas along No Name Creek, which is a little further to the north, that can experience flooding. And then some areas down in the Chora Flats also experience flooding during large events. There are areas in Morro Bay that are within a 100-year floodplain.
Okay. And going down, another one I had, talking about on the bottom, talking about the Corporation Yard with the concrete plant. With this, I guess we have an ongoing talks with the concrete plant about expanding that area so we can expand the yard. Is that what's going on?
Correct. As we went through, and we did this about a year and a half ago, we did a study looking at the wastewater treatment plant possibly needing additional space, looked at our operations in the corp yard and said, you know, we've really outgrown this. The desal plant needs to add some additional facilities to support its function. If you've ever been down there, its space is very tight in the city's corp yard. So what we looked at was we kind of went through and did a space needs analysis and said, okay, what do we really need long term? And we found out that we thought we could grow into the concrete plant when and if they modernize, and they've expressed an intent to do that. That when they modernize that plant, they'll change the design and layout such that they'll create a little bit of space that the corp yard could then grow into. We are in discussions with them. At some point, my guess is it's probably a couple of years down the road before those will really heat up or anything will come from that.
And then as I'm thinking of that offhand, so if they change that, then that would be an expansion of the maintenance yard. And then are you thinking, is the city thinking on the, would be the west side of the maintenance yard where the expansion of the wastewater treatment plant would expand into the existing property of the maintenance yard?
Yeah, that's plausible. There's a lot of moving parts down there, which is why we actually did the analysis. The wastewater plant, until you get through the design of that plant, you won't really know where or how things are going to shift around or what makes the most sense. But there is the possibility that it will need to grow and take up some additional space. The corp yard has need to grow and to move around and really could use from being reconfigured a little bit. It just sort of has evolved in time and was never really planned and laid out the way that we're using it. And so you go, the whole point is that if the concrete plant created space, it's even more complicated than that, in that the land that the concrete plant's on is jointly owned between Morro Bay and Cayucas through the joint powers arrangement. And so we jointly own that property. So the city would have to, if we ever really wanted to get in there, the concrete plant would have to move, and then we would have to negotiate with Cayucas some kind of rental agreement for us to use that space and that facility. So there'd be a lot of steps between here and actually doing anything out there.
Well, that was my next question, because I thought I had heard somewhere that the concrete plant did lease that property. Does that go also for the trailer park, or are they owners of that property?
The trailer park property is owned wholly by the city. For that funding, you need to have an approved bicycle transportation plan. So the first step is the preparation of the bicycle transportation plan. Then once you've done that and identified that that is indeed the spot where you are going to want to put bicycle lanes, and then you get into the nitty-gritty, okay, well, whose space, how much space can we do here? Can we do bulb outs? You know, how much impact is changing the width here? How much width can we afford to spare? And you go, that gets into sort of design issues of the project. And I don't think we're there yet. I think Rob's really just working on the first steps, which is the transportation plan.
All right, any other questions for page two? Going to page three. Everybody seems to be like poker playing, hiding their hands. I think page three is going to be the one that everyone's going to talk about. All right, who wants? June, would you like to go?
Funny you should ask me. There is a part here on trees. And I do have a question about the dead tree to be removed on Quintana and La Loma. I didn't know if it had happened yet. And if so, are there plans to replace that tree?
I actually don't know on the tree removal whether that's been done or not. That's something that flows through Rob. And certainly if we remove a tree, our policy would be to eventually replace it. We're not always spot on with that replacement.
Well, actually, we have an ordinance that says that we are to replace trees. I don't know it gives a time frame, but the city hasn't been replacing trees. So I would like to know what the outcome is on this one,
okay,
if possible.
I can kick that question to Rob.
Thank you.
All right, I had a question. I have a number of questions on page three. First of all, and I know this is coming up, I see that the state water has increased statewide deliveries. Is our contract with the state water project year to year, Dylan?
No. Our contract with the state water project is an interesting one. Really, all that we have is we've promised to pay, and they've promised that potentially under certain scenarios they'll give us water. And it's one of those things that stretches out from here till it's all paid off. So you go, we're in that for the long run. I don't know when the dates are that contract ends, but it's out there 20 or 30 years kind of thing. So no, it's not year to year.
Okay. All right, then I guess next going down to the potable water production. It says here that we got 27.94 acre feet of desal water last month. Is this working at capacity, considering that we have another line unit coming online, or can we expect more?
No, we could actually. That was for last year, so that's what we got out of it last year in 2008. That was our total production number. If we're running full bore with all that, we actually aren't set up yet. We're not all the way there to where we could run all the new trains and all the existing trains full bore. We got an electrical upgrade that we have to go through before we'll get there. But once we're running full bore, we'll be able to produce about 1,300 gallons a minute out of that facility. And I'd have to do the math to get you acre feet, but it's more than that 27.94.
Okay. And all right. I guess then if we want to jump down from that, keeping on desal, the desal plant energy recovery system, can you give us an update on – I know we have a lot of stuff going on, and you're looking at maybe midsummer or certainly by the next state water shutdown to have the whole unit up and running. But can you give us an update?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to report. It's really one of those things. It's one of the large piles on my desk that I never seem to get to these days. So the facility is physically ready. I mean, you go, it's physically ready to turn on and start producing water. We've actually done some testing on that. We have a little bit more testing to do. And a punch list to prepare, but we're pretty much there. So physical installation is complete. The contractor's demobbed, so there's nobody there working on it. It's basically sitting there idle waiting for us to get the permitting done so that we can actually use it.
And then that's you're predicting, well, you trying to predict or as much as you can, understanding the nuances of government, that this will be up and running by the state water shutdown.
I would anticipate that. Yep.
Okay. And then I have another question about the nitrate analysis. Cleith and Associates have just finished the Choro study, and so right now, and I guess my question is about scheduling. First, we go through the study, They do the study, and then they start putting their paperwork together. And then you, the city planning, you get to see this, and then you put the, you help them, or I don't know, what's the process?
Yeah. So the way that this works is we've hired them to do this study. Once they've gotten that study largely done, so that's what we would call the administrative draft, where they think, okay, we're pretty much there. They give it to us to review, one, just to make sure that there aren't any facts that are incomplete or incorrect. It'll become an official document of the city. So until they adopt it, it's really going to be what I would call like a draft. It's not an administrative draft. It's just basically a draft. It's complete but not adopted. Once they adopt it, then we start working based on its analysis and recommendations is how that's going to work. And what that's going to entail and how that's all going to shake out, I don't know how that works. You look in the crystal ball and you go, I anticipate a series of meetings, discussions, and then we'll see what the reactions of the various parties are.
I guess, that makes complete sense. And for those of you out in Morro Bay, the reason I'm asking is because I know there's a number of concerned people, not just the people living in Morro Bay proper, but the people out in Chora Valley and the agricultural workers and farmers. There's a lot of stakeholders here, and so I ask the question because there's a lot going on, and I know this is important to a number of people. All right. Looking at my questions, this is all I have for page 3. Anybody with page 3, you want to move on to page 4?
I just noticed one other thing here under the tree paragraph. What is hangers removed at multiple locations about?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with clothes hangers, just by way of clarification. A hanger is a branch that has died and fallen from higher up into the tree and gets hung up on a lower branch. So it's dead material that's basically hanging there waiting to fall on a car, a person, or some other unfortunate object that happens to be in its path. So you go hangers, we remove them at any time of the year because we deem those to be a hazard.
In the fire service, I think they call those widow makers.
That's an accurate description for them. Yep.
I guess a follow-up on that, does the city, we pay for that, or do sometimes if it's a danger towards power lines, do we do some kind of direct that towards PG&E?
We pay for any removals that we do.
You do, but if the recommendation is if there's a...
If it was a city tree or a street tree, odds are the city would wind up paying for that.
Sorry. I had a question about the trees. Just wondered if we had any word about the tree subcommittee.
I don't have any word. we'll have to kick that one to Rob as well. Sorry about that.
I could update you a little bit on that. We were supposed to have a meeting tomorrow afternoon. It was canceled, and we're hoping to get it rescheduled soon.
Well, I thought I was on that committee.
Oh, I didn't have you on the list.
Yes.
So it wasn't. No, it's not. It was just to meet to further clarify if the tree committee was going to move forward and be created or not.
Oh.
The tree committee hasn't been okayed by the city council yet.
Well, anything
so we're
I
still
can be
working
a part
towards
of.
That. Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, moving on to page 4 of 5, talking about collection systems in the director's report. Dylan, I have a question first on number 1, the rehabilitation of the collection system building. I know that in the past year or so, the city redid that because it's very dilapidated. Now, understanding that the upgrade to the wastewater treatment plant, are we talking about moving that building?
You know, its fate is uncertain once you go through the upgrade the wastewater treatment. And we know that going in. We actually had more money in the budget than we use. And it was one of those issues where you go, okay, do we try to wait? But I didn't think we could wait any longer. That was one of our widow makers where we had big kind of rusty sheets of metal that like to come off in windstorms on that building. So we went and wrecked the skin out. We reskinned the existing building. So that saved us a significant cost. And we basically rehabbed the existing building in place, knowing that it would be good for at least about 5 years, and it may be good a lot longer than that. The building will be in good shape a lot longer than that, but we don't know if that space is going to be needed for some other function or not. So we did it basically as an interim measure until we can figure out what's going to happen there.
I have another question on the next one down, talking about lift station number 3 on Quintana Road. That's the one that we had problems with in the last month. Can you give us an update on that and what happened and what eventually, how it eventually got resolved?
Sure. Happy to talk about that a little bit. We've had a number of problems actually at Lift Station 3. Since I've been with the city about 2 years, I think we've had three or four pretty good-sized incidents down there. And that's what happens when your infrastructure gets old. It becomes less and less reliable. I mean, you know, it's more likely to break. And so you go, what happened at Lift Station 3, though, could happen to any lift station. We had a pump bearing that went out. The seal broke. So basically, as a pump spinning, it's spinning a big metal thing that pushes the water. And that's that shaft has a seal around it. Well, that if that seal breaks or blows out, then you can leak a lot of water. So we basically drained the wet well into the dry well. So what we did was our guys worked, got it pumped down, closed off the valves between the wet well and the dry well, pumped it out, cleaned it out, pulled those motors out, and we sent them to we probably at earliest would go out to bid, maybe late July, early August would be the earliest you would want to do that. And if it slipped a little bit, that would be okay too. Because you don't want to do that construction work during the tourist season because of its location in the parking lot down there.
And do you plan to, or does this plan to, like, put something so people can come in and see?
No, we... I suppose if somebody really wanted a tour of a lift station, we could arrange that for them. That's not a popular tourist spot. But you go, we usually keep those facilities fairly secure as far as fencing and things like that, and then also kind of out of sight, out of mind, mostly because you don't want to be a target for vandalism or other things like that. But if somebody really had an interest, I'm sure we could arrange a tour.
All right. Would anybody else have any questions? All right, so we're finished with the director's report. Thank you very much, Dylan. Moving on to new business, and I know we have some anticipating people out in the audience that just are raring to go. All right, so Mike, get going.
Hello again. We are here tonight to present the last three sections that we'll be bringing to PWEB for the sewer system management plan. So we've brought you all of the elements now of the 11 total elements of this plan, and kind of let you know where it's going from here. After tonight, if it gets recommended that we take this on to City Council, we'll be taking the last five, so the two that were approved at the last month's PWEB meeting, and we'll be taking the three from tonight. We'll be taking those to City Council for them to take the whole document and adopt it as the city's SSMP for the state's requirement to have one. So again tonight we have on here, we've combined two of them together because they're somewhat related, but we have three sections for you tonight that have to be turned in to the state by August 1st, so we're well ahead of that deadline, and that makes us feel very comfortable. So the first one tonight is element 8, which is system evaluation and the capacity assurance plan. So this is basically summarizes our master planning that we do when needed at the city to kind of prepare and plan ahead for the future on what the system needs for capacity and also for, I mean, aging lift stations and stuff like that. So it's what is the condition and kind of the asset management task that's both the wastewater collections division's responsibility as well as the utilities and capital projects. So we work together, and we basically use the master plan as our guide for a lot of the projects and stuff, as well as doing an analysis of our system to evaluate and do a model flow capacity of all the lines, make sure that we don't have more flow coming into a line than it can handle and carry to the wastewater treatment plant. Also in this section, we did that also the capacity assurance plan is in the master planning documents, which is the master plan, which we have at the Public Works Department. We also are going to come back and review the master plan as needed. So this is going to be part of a further section we're talking about tonight, which is the SSMP audit process. So we're going to go through the SSMP every 2 years. We're going to revisit it, kind of figure out what progress has been made because of this document, kind of give it some measures of performance so that we can go, okay, where are we today because of what we did and have planned for in the future. So it's like, okay, what has this document actually done for us? And this will allow us to kind of plan out ahead, okay, how far are we through our previous master planning document, and is it time for us to start looking at some of the other problems or new things that have occurred in our system, or focus on maybe less critical pieces because we've gotten through some of those high maintenance tasks or the crucial items that need to be done. And then that brings us into element 9, which is monitoring, measurement, and program modification for basically the
Mike, SSMP. If I could interrupt for a second.
Yes.
Would you like to us to, if we have any questions, ask during your presentation or at the end?
Why don't we save those for the end, and I can kind of go through, because we'll go through this really quick, and then we'll come back into the actual document on things that you guys have questions on. Okay. So again, we had sets of requirements for us to monitor each portion of the SSMP. So what we did is we addressed each element and kind of gave detailed things of how we're going to monitor each element so that it's a measurable performance task. Because if you don't set something that's able to be measured through the process, then you have nothing to mark it up against. So what we've done is we've set, okay, we want to look at how each element has performed throughout the year. So what have we been able to do? What is able to be seen through all our different logs for line cleaning? Has things gotten easier for line cleaning? Do we need to spend more time on that if possible? What we need to do to improve that program, if we find deficiencies in that program. So that's kind of that next step is if we find deficiencies in the SSMP, come back in and correct those and adjust any documents that need to be adjusted to reflect those deficiencies so that we don't carry them into the future. And then that brings us into the program audit, which is the process that we'll be doing again every 2 years. And this allows us to go through the process of reviewing elements of the SSMP, making those measurable calculations.
What?
SSMP is the Sewer System Management Plan.
Yes. Yep. So we're going to be doing those audits every 2 years to kind of give us direction on where we're going in the future for master planning, as well as every element of the SSMP and how far it's brought us into the future. So, and then, again, if deficiencies are found, we're going to correct those as well as update any of the documents that need to be updated to reflect those changes. And then this is where you guys get to ask your questions. Yes?
I have a question about the auditing. You said that'll happen every 2 years as a matter of course. Will you come back to this board with your findings or the council, or is that kept within the department?
The plan for now is we'll do the audit as a department. We'll go through the plan, do our measuring of performance things, and then we'll be taking that to City Council as part of the sewer state of the sewer that usually Dylan gives to the City Council. We'll also bring it here and open it up for questions and comments from the public as well. So if people have concerns, they're definitely more than able to come to this board and ask those questions.
Oh, I'm glad to hear we're included in that.
Yes.
And so I guess I have a piggyback question on that in terms of the audit, in terms of this measurement, finding out what the city's doing in terms of keeping everybody, the staff, up to date on various best practices and all that. So will be just on a continuing basis, or that based on that audit every 2 years?
That's on a continuing basis. That's part of the training program. An element that we've brought by before is that we look and we make sure that our guys are staying up to date on their certifications, training opportunities, providing training schedules for, you know, all the operators, all of the staff, making sure that we're staying in tune with what those best management practices are as they change, which as this process continues is starting across the state to be looked at. So this is leading us in that direction.
And as I'm thinking about this, when we talk about videoing all the pipes and whatnot throughout the city, that's an ongoing process, and so that's not just necessarily depending on that two-year audit. That's just one of the safety features of this whole safe sewer management plan.
Right. So that's part of the plan that we have set in place by the SSMP is we've set forth a plan for how often we're videoing our lines. So we're trying to get 3 sections a year videoed, so that we're able to, you know, build a baseline and then continue that videoing process so we know where the deficiencies are in our system and where spots are for rehabilitation, where some of that aging infrastructure has lasted and where it hasn't, so that we're able to address those issues and get those fixed.
So three sections a year is what you're hoping for?
Yes.
How many sections?
Three sections of 14, yes.
So of 14.
Yeah, okay. So we've split the city into 14, basically, distribution areas. And so out of those 14, which allows us to video the whole system pretty much every 5 years.
And I guess the natural question becomes, you do that audit of three of the 14 and you find, say, a very dilapidated part of the system, holes, or you have exfiltration, and that's when it goes on some sort of priority list to either somehow fix that, replace it, whatnot?
Yeah, there are a lot of days when we're out doing videos and instantaneously as we see something in the video, it's brought to, you know, the city's attention, and Dylan sends me and goes, okay, go out there, take a look at it, let me know what it is. And the collections guys call us out there in the field and say, hey, look at this. This is a problem. And those are problems that you can't diagnose without that video inspection. And then we get on those and we get them out there and we get it fixed.
Our shortest term time from problem spotted until the repair, a fairly significant repair was made, was probably about 4 weeks. So you go, if there's an issue that we think is pressing or critical, the purpose of the audits, I guess, the SSMP is basically our plan or our policy document. So we're laying out, this is how we're going to maintain our system. And then you're coming back through every 2 years and you're doing a formal audit. And you're saying, okay, are the measures that we've identified and laid out going to be sufficient, or do we need to make modifications to those? And if we do, then we'll adopt those through the city council, and that will become our new policy document. But if we find deficiencies as we go, we're not going to wait for that process to occur. We're going to get right on them.
And I guess with that in mind, to go along with what you just said, Dylan, this SSMP, Safe Sewer Management Plan, is going to be coming up for ratification or acceptance by the council to go into effect. But I guess the city has had something in place for a number of years. I'm thinking specifically we've had people come to this board talking about
rules become available. And so you have to go through an audit occasionally, and by law the state said you're going to do this every 2 years. So we'll do that, and we're happy to.
So on the bigger picture of all this, so this is something new that the state says that we need to comply with.
Correct.
This, and that's statewide.
Statewide.
All municipalities have to comply with this, and the county, I assume.
Correct.
So there's kind of a standardized requirement now for all cities, because maybe some cities weren't doing as much as we were.
You got it. It's a case of a few bad apples ruined it for everybody kind of thing, where the state said, okay. There was also a desire on the state's part to have, they're giving you a standardized language to talk about your sewer system. And so you go, okay, now we've got 11 defined sort of areas of practice or expertise that we can talk about. So, one, it was to create a standardized language. Two, it was to create some tracking tools for issues that do occur in sewer systems. And then three, it was to sort of force the best management practices to go into implementation, because there were communities out there. There are a lot of communities that have a consent decree where the EPA's found them to be basically like a blight, and they get told, you will repair this at this time and this next and that next. And you go, we're so far from being in that position, we've been a lot more proactive than that. But you go, we look at this and go, this is going to be a great tool for us to manage our system from here forward. And you go, it's beneficial to us to do this and to take the state's requirements. We've actually run a little bit beyond probably, we could have checked the box by doing less, but we really wanted this to be a living, breathing document that's going to be, you know, if I hire a new collections worker, the first thing we're going to do is hand them this and say, here's how we do it, or obey. And you go, that was kind of our thought and our intent, is that as we have this aging workforce and we replace these senior workers, that you go, we've tried to capture some of their knowledge and experience. And Jim's probably out there chuckling at me, right, or getting ready to throw rocks. But you go, we've captured their knowledge and experience, and you go and put it in a format that's digestible, that's understandable, and that explains sort of the what, where, why, and how we do some of the things that we do.
And I think you did say 80% we were already doing, but it does allow for some improvements, and maybe there were some things that the state required that we weren't aware of and that we could use to improve what we're doing here, too.
You got it.
Yeah, it's great.
Am I wrong to think that this videotaping of the lines is really intriguing and interesting? Am I wrong?
You are one of the few, yes.
So I'm not picturing a Facebook for our sewer lines. I see the videoing going out to the public on a channel devoted to, you know, you can tune in and see your own sewer line for your neighborhood being.
You're more than willing to come into my office and watch them with me.
The more people are close to what's real, really happening, the more ownership.
Well, we've actually we're knee deep in the process, and I'll jump in here, Mike. But we're knee-deep in the process of putting in a new system that we're actually capturing all of our data digitally, and we're storing that on the server at Public Services. And what that's going to do for us is we're actually going to be able to – they're in the field today taking videos. They'll bring that in, plug it into our computer, and within minutes I'll have a report that tells me every deficiency that they found in that section. And you go, eventually we'll get to the point where we'll be able to send every homeowner that has a problem in their lateral that we've observed, we'll be able to basically print a report that has that in there, and we'll be able to send those out. So you go, we may send everybody a still photo. I don't think we'll make them all watch the videos.
I love that idea. Thank you.
I wonder if it would be possible for us, for you to ever bring us a segment, a two-minute segment of a video of maybe what a good, healthy sewer line looks like and a sewer line with a problem. So at least we could be better informed about, you know, what it – I know that I get things better visually instead of just reading about it or something. So I don't know if that's possible. But then it also would – if the public is dying to see this too, they could tune in.
I'm telling you, it would be a great reality TV show.
We have done and I believe the last time I did it may have been 2007, but I did do a state of the sewer, and I showed some examples of this is a regular line, this is a line clogged up on grease. And you go, certainly, I would see us, we've been really locked into this, so I haven't really bothered with the state of the sewer, but you go, I would think maybe later this year or sometime next year we will bring another state of the sewer out, and we'll show some of those best and worst photos. We usually are tactful in our selection. Just to, so that you can demonstrate, you know, what we do and how we do it.
I have a question. It goes back to the first page of the memorandum we were given under fiscal impact, and it said there are cost impacts associated with other chapters of the sewer system.
You know, there's a long time and a lot of project to get done between here and there. But you go, we have a rate structure in place that we believe will support the project. We believe we're doing the steps we need to do to be where we need to be. So I don't anticipate monumental changes in that rate structure. I don't anticipate, because of the SS&P, I wouldn't anticipate any change to our rates.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Jenny really brought up some interesting idea about late night TV. And seriously, folks, it's not a bad idea in terms of the state of your city and whatnot, and as technology improves, as Dylan points out, this, you know, when you have a question or a concern about your own lateral with your property, this could be really important. I do have a question on page one, Mike, on the bottom of the page, another one of those kind of acronyms, I&I reduction programs. Can you tell me what I&I is?
Yes, that's infiltration. So inflow and infiltration. Going to be in the glossary at the beginning of the thing. And throughout the SSMP, we've been using it as an abbreviation. So by the time you get to section 9, we'd hope that you've seen it enough that you'd know what it is. But yeah, since we brought this in a small section, we didn't put it in there before. So, yeah, inflow and infiltration is
what. Oh, believe me, I was going all the way through. I'm like, what could this be? The infiltration. All right. So going through the SSMP, is there anybody else that has any questions? All right, here, John.
Mike, how many of the 14 video sections have not been looked at yet?
So we videoed sections 1, 2, I'm doing this for me to think through them, 4, 5, and 6. So we still have more than half of it to go. So we've done more already than our 3 per year because we've been able to get the video guys in town, and that's one of the issues is now that everyone's being mandated by the state to do some of these observation tasks, this market has had an influx of demand without an influx in supply. So there's a lot of people asking for these video services. So as we're able to get them, we bring them in and we get them to video our line. So there are portions of town that we don't have videos for yet, but we're going through some of the ones that we feel are the bad areas, especially places that we've seen problems, we've seen grease, we've had repeated root problems. We get those videoed so that we're able to go, okay, we've at least looked at the ones that we know are problems. We still are going to come across some through this process that are, we didn't know this because we've never walked down the sewer line. But as we find problems and, you know, calls are in and the video guys are here, we send them out to do that. We make a list once they leave until they come back again of, okay, this is what's happened since the last time the video crew was here. Can we get them to video these lines on top of the section they're here to do today? So.
And then I noticed a week or two ago on Quintana, just south of South Bay Boulevard, you guys were all real interested in something down there. You were all there with the video guy. What was that? What was going on
there?
Well, there
we were cleaning the lines when we were doing the video, so we had the hydro truck out there as well. So you had to have the staff for the hydro truck as well as the guys helping the video crew. And considering we have, you know, four guys that work for our wastewater collections department, that ends up meaning they're all out there. You know, and then...
We
found nothing that was... We didn't find a collapsed sewer line out there. There are some problems there that we are going to address. That line is fairly old. It's a different material than most of the pipe in town. So we'll probably be looking at that line as one of our projects here in the future, but it's of no massive concern. It's still there.
Part of this process is, you know, we arbitrarily pick three a year. And we kind of say, that's about right. The goal is that we'll eventually get to where we're caught up with the repairs that need to be made. So you go in 5 years or 6 years, I expect we'll be in a very different position than we are today, where we're just basically reviewing videos and go, yeah, we already fixed that. Okay, that's not a problem. That can wait another 5 years before we fix it, and we'll come back and watch this. Ultimately, the goal is that you build that history, and in time you can sort of see things change in time. Where we're at now, because this is our first look, though, we are getting some surprises, and we're building quite a long repair list. And you go, that's kind of the goal. We're picking the worst first, and we're going to make a series of repairs. I would anticipate... that's probably Mike's number three project that he's working on is a whole slew of sewer repairs. And so you go, he's writing specs and identifying areas and putting drawings together so we can go out to bid and get a bunch of this work done. And it may be that we can only do the work on two sections a year, even though we're videoing three. It may be that we get only one section's worth of repairs done in a year. You know, we basically have limited resources, and so we'll put those to best use. But as we go through this, we're kind of learning as we go too that, okay, maybe we want to do this like this, and maybe, you know, when we get through this first 5-year cycle, we'll say, okay, well, we're going to space it out a little further, or we're going to tighten it up a little bit. You don't realize that thing costs you $75,000, and then the cables and all the equipment that goes along with it. So it's a fairly expensive enterprise to get into. And then once you do, you make that big capital investment. You go, how often are we going to use this? We're not going to use it every day. And when we do use it, what's the opportunity cost of that crew? Right? So you go, we don't want to keep a crew on staff just to do sewer videos. Some of the larger municipalities can afford to do that, and they have a specialized crew, and those guys just do videos all day long. With our crews, you go, we're not going to be doing enough videos that we think it's going to pencil out.
How many people are on a crew?
We have... I talk about crews and departments, and you sometimes get, I think, a misconception about how many people are out there. There are four guys that work in the collections department. So there are four guys that take care of all of our sewer system in Morro Bay. So there are effectively two crews if they're doing a confined space entry that actually is only one crew that shrinks down to. So we've got four guys on staff, plus Mike and myself.
What is the videoing crew comprised of? How many people on that? That's more when we contract
crew,
out to have it done at $1,000 a day. How many people? Are
it's
we
usually two guys, and then we usually park a guy with them in case we find anything, in case it gets stuck, in case they need help with traffic control. So you go, that makes it a little more efficient. So when we're using those outside contractors, we try to have, you know, a laundry list of stuff for them to do, and we try to basically crack the whip and get them to move through the thing as quickly as they can and still get us the data that they need.
All right. Do you have any more questions, mm-hmm. Georgia?
I just want a little bit of clarification while we're talking about costs. Now, all this comes out of an enterprise fund. It's not general fund money. Is that right?
Correct.
So it's less vulnerable to, say, state issues and that kind of thing.
Yeah, where we get we have seen a reduction in our enterprise revenues because of the, I would say the economic downturn has impacted us. So people are conserving more. They're doing, you know, they're shaving expenses where they can. So maybe they're wearing their clothes 3 days instead of one before washing them or whatever steps they deem appropriate. So we have seen a reduction in our revenues. I would say significant but not crushing is how I would describe that for the enterprise funds. And so what we'll do is we do have the funds, though. The enterprise, basically it's everybody's sewer bill, water bill that you pay. You go, that's where the money goes. And you go, it goes directly into doing the work that we need to do. And so we can't collect more than we need. We're not supposed to do that. Nor can we responsibly collect too little. So you go, you basically set your rate right about where you think you need it. There is some fluctuation in that, but you don't worry about it too much until you get into, you know, a couple years kind of thing.
So we do, when people conserve water, that adversely affects the fund because the revenues coming in are based on the amount of water that we use as individuals and businesses.
At least interesting discussions when you manage a water enterprise, you go. But we always encourage conservation because, you go, the theory is that you offset expensive capital costs down the road by conservation. So we always encourage that. But, yes, it does have an impact on your revenues.
All right. I had a question on page 3. Under 8B, second paragraph down, it's talking about the design criteria. Specifically, the city of Morro Bay has experienced localized flooding in the vicinity of Alva Paul. What exactly is Alva Paul?
I think those are the three creeks where we've seen flooding.
So Alva Paul is a creek? Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Island Street.
Island Street? Oh, okay.
So Alva Paul and No Name Creek are the creek that run down. So they run down from parallel to Del Mar, the property at Del Mar through Del Mar Park down under the highway, and then No Name Creek, and then it exits out down on the beach. That's No Name Creek, No Name, and Alva Paul. I've never heard that before in my life.
But they're the same.
They're the same. Okay. All right, no problem. It doesn't read like that in there. Yeah. It looks like there's three separate ones.
I'll look at that and we'll figure it out.
And saying no name suggests that there's no name.
Well, it
but
was
it sounds like
Alva
the
Paul,
name.
No Name, and Morro Creek.
With Paul in between, yeah. So it's like three separate.
Yes. Yeah. And then when I was looking at No Name Creek, I was mistaken. I was thinking No Name Creek was the creek that runs parallel to Highway 1 and Quintana from where Morro Bay Boulevard intersects with Quintana.
Willow Camp.
What is that?
Willow Camp Creek.
Willow Camp Creek.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that Alva Paul and No Name are the exact same. I thought they were two different ones. And so you go, we'll check on that.
Okay. No problem. And I guess another question. Did you have a question about that, June?
That's perfect.
And a second?
I'll second.
All right, and all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Mike. And thank you, Jim. All right, and moving on now. That was new business. We go to old business, and this will be a quickie because there is none. And we will go to future agenda items. And I was remiss at the beginning to say that Bill Olson, chairperson of PWAB, was not here. He couldn't be here this week. And so two of his future agenda items, we can't really talk about it since he's not here, leaving one, and that was from me. At the beginning of this meeting, we talked about the bike committee, Citizens Bike Committee, had brought forth a number of recommendations. My concerns for future agenda items concerns the San Jacinto intersection discussion. I would like to place, but I can't really put it on an agenda item because I will not be here the next two meetings for PWAB. So maybe we're going to have to just keep putting this on future agenda, maybe in August. But specifically what I'd like to talk about is the San Jacinto area with Del Mar and the quantity and quality of traffic in that area. If we can somehow start to talk about and then make recommendations to go to the city council about how to slow this down. The bike committee tonight on their recommendation, they brought up a number of ideas, and so maybe we can put that on the agenda for future agenda items in August. All right. Are there any other future agenda items?
I don't have an agenda item, but what happens for next month? So, because it looks like there isn't anything on our agenda for next month.
If we wanted to cancel a meeting, so we're saying, okay, Matt's out of town, we're getting into the summer, maybe we want to hold off on the June or July meeting, we have to do that at the previous regularly scheduled meeting. So looking at the agenda right now, we won't have anything on the SSMP. And we could basically entertain a motion to cancel the next meeting if we wanted to do so.
And we can do that at this meeting?
We have to do it at this meeting.
How does that process work? Would the city normally come forward with something between now and what if we don't cancel it? What will happen then?
If you don't cancel it, we'll scramble to try to find something to put on there. We've really kept it fairly regular, and we've been, I mean, you guys have been grinding through the SSMP. We thank you for your efforts in that. So that's been a regular topic of discussion and has been a reason for us not to cancel. We haven't canceled a meeting in a long time.
I think the last meeting we canceled was last summer in July. We had a number of members not going to be here. Is there anybody not saying to have a meeting? I do believe I'm the only person not going to be here, so the meeting can continue.
Sure. I'd like to go ahead and have the next meeting because I'm sure there's things that we can talk about. There's a lot going on.
But to that effect, we have to have it on the agenda before the meeting somehow. So we would, if we had something wanted to bring up, it would be Bill Olson we'd need to contact to get that.
The future agenda section of the, it's basically a good spot for you guys to put the things that you want to talk about. And then you go, what we'll do is you have the option of either A, bring in an item forward yourself, so you could prepare a report and kind of do a presentation on some item that was of particular interest to you. Or you go, some of these issues will rise to the level that as staff we need to address them or discuss them in order to have a mature discussion. And so we'll try to bring those forward as we can.
And also, since Bill Olson is not here tonight, his two items, we can just carry them over to the June meetings.
Think of this as like the target list and the running things you want to have a discussion on. And what we'll do is we'll try to use that as filler material for meetings where we don't have a staff item that's of importance to bring to you.
Then please note, and I think June's going to add one, then that for the future agenda items for June, we're going to continue with Bill Olson with an update on green building efforts and also on water billing, leaks, and basic water use information. Bill was going to explain some of the research and past things that he has done for the city in terms of understanding your water bill, which I would think would be interesting to folks out in the community. So Jenny and June have something to add also.
Actually, you just covered it. It was a water billing issue. I wanted to make sure we didn't forget that.
Well, if we're looking for agenda items, tomorrow morning I will be presenting to the Promotions Committee an idea I have that I have a feeling they will suggest is discussed here at Public Works Advisory Board, and that is the striping of Morro Bay Boulevard and the addition of a tourist attraction sign at the top of the Centennial Staircase. So I'd like to tentatively put that on the agenda for June, as I hope that they will be enthusiastic about this idea.
June 17th is the next meeting for PWAB and Public Works Advisory Board, and then I will see you in August. All right. Thank you, Morro Bay.
Have a good trip, Matt.
Oops.
Don't tell me what we can bear on.